Good morning. Today is April 14th. This is the Education Subcommittee for Ways and Means. Welcome. It's nice to have all of you here. We have over 50 people that are going to speak this morning. So we are going to ask you very kindly to keep your testimony to 2 minutes. We have a clock here that at 30 seconds, it'll be orange or yellow.
Orange at 30.
And our staff will help keep me on track. Committee members, so that you know who we are real quick, Senator Arnie Roblin from Coos Bay, Co-Chair Monroe, and he's from Northeast Portland.
East Portland and Clackamas County.
And I'm Representative Betty Comp. All three of us have been teachers, and so we've been in the classroom where we've been around a lot. Senator Smith Warner.
I got a promotion.
Oh, Senator, yes. Representative Smith Warner is here, and she is very familiar also with schools. Representative Taylor, what area of Portland are you from?
Southeast and Milwaukee, Oak Grove.
Okay, and then Representative Huffman, he goes east of the mountains, and we're not going to listen to how many cities or little small communities that he...
We don't have time.
Exactly. And so we have a special speaker this morning that doesn't... I think this is the first time he's attended our meetings here at the Education Subchair. But co-chair Peter Buckley from Ashland, he is co-chair with Senator Devlin. And he and Senator Devlin are, how would you describe them, our bosses?
Our bosses, yeah. No doubt about it.
Okay. And so I am going to open at this point a public hearing on House Bill 5024 on the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. My good friend, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee. Representative Peter Buckley, representing South Jackson County in the legislature, representing Southern Oregon University in the legislature. Colleagues, I just want to take a minute here on behalf of Senator Devlin and myself to let you know really how we've come at the budget for education for 15-17. As noted in the co-chair's framework, it's a long-term effort to rebuild our education system in the state, to invest in early childhood education to the best of our ability. We know that, that's a great bang for the buck for the state, to keep K-12 moving forward, which is extremely difficult to do as we're adding full-day kindergarten, as you all know. But this session we felt was absolutely essential to make a significant step forward in the funding for our community colleges and for our universities. As you all know, our universities have lagged far behind in terms of state support. We're all aware of it. We're low 47, 48th in the country in terms of funding and supporting our universities. This is a session where we absolutely must take a step forward for our universities and start to rebuild the state's investment in higher education. I think many of us share the belief that education is what fuels our economy, education what fuels our future, and that's why Senator Devlin and I have prioritized making sure we make an increased investment in our universities in this budget. So I appreciate your time today to hear from the universities. I appreciate your support of an increased investment in the universities. And my co-chair said it'd be fine for me to testify without him as long as I said good things about him. So I will say that Senator Devlin is the force for all good in the world. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Any brief questions or comments by the committee? Thank you for starting us out. And yes, Senator.
I did want to say, it just so happens that tonight there is a meeting, and so any of you that want to go over to Lincoln City and visit the coast tonight can see the public hearings that Senator Buckley and Senator Devlin are Representative Buckley and Senator Devlin are setting up for the Ways and Means process, and I would encourage any of you that can make it and anybody that's there. I just think that the fact that they are doing these outreach deals is a really important part of keeping everybody in the state informed about the budget. So thanks for doing that.
And Senator, time and place.
It would be at the community center in Lincoln City at 6 o'clock.
6:30.
Yeah, 6:30 to 8.
And that's right on 101.
It's right on 101. It's easy to find when you get over there.
Thank you. We are going to call people up in groups of three, and then also let you know who is on deck for the next group. So, first we have Aria Swank and Ascent for. Oh gosh, you're from Southern Oregon. I should have had Senator. Anyway, do you know who I'm trying to say? Oh, okay, good. Come on up. And Quentin Richardson, the first three of you. On deck is Jack Van Landen and Tori Yahara and Alex McHuddle. I don't know how bad I did on that, but forgive me. And yes, feel relaxed. We won't pick on you. And please say your name and let's get started. And I'll learn how badly I said your name.
Co-Chair Comp and Monroe and members of the committee, good morning. I am Asante Sankofa Fori, and I am a third-year student at Southern Oregon University. Today, I'm here with my peers from around the state to highlight the impacts of divestments in public higher education having on students and our families. In my home state of California, tuition is too high to be affordable. My family's first solution was to send me to school in Alabama. However, I found that homophobia rampant on my campus too much to bear. So I transferred to SOU because it was the place where I knew I could be myself, especially because it stands as one of the most LGBTQIA+ inclusive campuses in our country. At SOU, I could receive the necessary academic tools so I could harness my passion for social justice and healing folk. I'm working towards an interdisciplinary degree between psychology and sociology, and I am seeking to use it in a career in clinical social work. At the outset, I knew I would have to overcome systematic racism because of my race. I knew my learning differences would make it difficult as well. Yet the most forbidding boundary in my way is the tremendous debt I have accrued, a fact compounded by the fact that my calling is not known for being the highest paying. Moreover, I claim my debt, but in truth, it is not actually mine. My family has brought me here today, both in terms of their steadfast support and the many loans they have taken out to finance my education. Mine is not the only debt that my family carries, and it rivals other amounts of debt. This has and will continue to be a burden on both myself and my family. I fear that in my pursuit of my passion and my happiness, which is ultimately to help people, I have doomed myself and my family to work all our lives to pay off the debt for approximately 5 years of education. This should not be a fear for anyone with a drive to learn and a goal for a degree. Thus, I ask you, members of the committee, to stop the downpour of debt, restore the cuts, and set the university budget at a minimum of $755 million.
Thank you. Please continue.
Am I projected right now, or should I move?
No, you don't have to be closer.
Okay, cool. So
yes, our microphones are real sensitive.
Okay, perfect. So hello, committee. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Quentin Richardson. I'm a health science student at Portland State University, first year. And so, as you all know, our country was hit by a recession in 2007 and ending around 2009. You know, a lot of people, there are a lot of tough choices that had to be made. A lot of people lost their jobs, homes, and acquired a debt that they still won't be able to come back from. However, I'd like to let it be known that the working class and students alike were not the only ones impacted, as it took a massive toll on everyone. As a natural response to this high amount of debt, government expenditure had to be lowered on all sectors, including public schooling. As a student, I asked the question of why. Why are students being punished with even more debt as public universities are receiving budget cuts and higher tuition rates at the same time? As you all may know, Portland State alone has seen a tuition increase of over 65% in the past decade, and another 4% in the past year. Now more than ever is the time to invest in our future as educated Americans that are prepared to make a difference in the world. Many changes have been happening on campus that are shocking, to say the least. CPSO, campus police, have been given the legal permission to bear arms to make campus a safer place. This created an uproar amongst my peers and faculty as Portland State's motto is, let knowledge serve the city. With the lack of government spending funding, dealing with civil issues in day-to-day student life becomes even more stressful. It doesn't take a health science major or a politician to understand that it's mentally and physically draining to live on limited college funds with the rising tuition and budget cuts that are increasing. It should be noted that Portland State is not a war zone with starving students that, you know, are ignored by administration. We received a $25 million sustainability grant that is meant to help students with scholarships, projects, etc. A lot of great things are happening on campus, as Oregon Student Association did a great job to advocate for a tuition freeze last year.
And I'm going to ask you to finish up.
Oh, yeah, I'm almost done.
Good.
and we will be able to most likely do the same if we get that $75 million again this year. So it will benefit my peers and myself that you hear me and that we may become contributors to something bigger than ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you.
Co-chairs Comp and Monroe and members of the committee, my name is Araya Suk and I'm from Oregon State University. And I'm here today to ask you to support the $755 million for university education. I come from a single parent household where growing up happened very fast and taking care of siblings was a daily task. I was encouraged to go to college, but I made this venture knowing that nobody from my family, even distant relatives, nobody was going to be able to help me fund any part of my education. I'm now in my third year at Oregon State University, and I have plans to attend law school afterwards with hopes that my funding will be able to be continued. Though I stand here proud of what I have accomplished, it has not been easy. There have been many times where I've worked 3-4 jobs a term just on top of student loans just so I could be able to support myself financially, including paying for tuition, textbooks, and general living expenses. If I weren't a student, you know, this wouldn't be such a bad setup and I would be able to provide for myself. But when you add school and education into the mix, 30 hours of clubs and organizations, then you have 60 hours of work, other miscellaneous schoolwork, you know, it leaves an individual exhausted and often school suffers. So when public education isn't funded at a higher priority, it makes our institution seek funding elsewhere, i.e. student tuition. For somebody who already has to work this hard just to be able to provide for myself, raising tuition is going to be a contributing factor to whether or not I can attend college. When we invest in higher education, I believe that my generation has the ability to do great things and put a lot more into our economic system, thus creating a higher return on investment for putting in this money now for our education system. With this said, I really urge you to support funding our public universities at $755 million. Thank you once again.
Thank you. And I'm pleased we have somebody from Ashland, Corvallis, in Portland. So we've covered the west part of the state, and we'll work on the east part. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Jack Vanderlyn and Tori Yahara and Alex McConnell, and on deck, Paul Kelly, Maud Hines, and Steve Vincent. Yeah, whenever you get up here. And yes, we're getting a little blinded with orange today.
I don't know how I could say that.
Oh, well, I'm a Beaver fan, but okay. Go ahead and start.
Thank you. Co-Chair Comp, Co-Chair Monroe, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Tori Uhara, and I'm a third-year student at Southern Oregon University, as well as the Executive Committee Chair of the Oregon Student Association and a Board of Directors member. As a student at Southern Oregon University, I have seen firsthand the negative impacts of the state's disinvestment in post-secondary education. Over the past 2 years, SOU has been struggling going through retrenchment, starting with students seeing cuts to their classes, programs, and departments, and now the ensuing raise in tuition. As a regional institution, SOU serves a diverse and non-traditional community of students, many of whom without SOU may not have pursued a college education. But with the decreases in funding over the past couple decades and the aftermath of Senate Bill 270, we see SOU students being priced out of their post-secondary education. In a year, I will graduate from SOU with over $30,000 in debt, which is above the average student debt of $26,000. I will be unable to purchase a house in a reasonable amount of time when I graduate or start a family. These are goals I have, yet the promise of opportunity that a college degree is supposed to present will be put on hold until I gain financial security. I will spend years working to pay off my debt, and the high cost of tuition now will continue to weigh heavy on my shoulders long after I graduate from SEU. We need a reinvestment from the state legislature. We need you all to take action and be true champions for post-secondary education by investing $755 million in public universities. We keep hearing from businesses that Oregon doesn't have the educated workforce it needs, so they bring people from elsewhere to fill the jobs. And we hear from legislators there's no money to make these investments. Maybe it's time for the businesses to start paying their fair share in order to educate the workforce they so desperately want and our economy needs.
And I need to ask you to come to a close.
Yeah. So I just ask you to please remember my face, my story, and our families when you write this budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Chair. Oh, yes, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could each of you, when you wrap up, tell us what you approximate your 4 or 5 year student loan debt will be? I think that's helpful for us to have an understanding of what you say you're going to have a lot of loans and student debt when you complete your baccalaureate degree, but to define what a lot is would be helpful to me.
Yeah. As best as you can to your ability. That's how we serve to the best of our ability. Please.
Yes. Thank you. Representative Comp, Senator Monroe, Representative Huffman, and members of the committee. My name is Jack Vanderlinden. I am a senior in the Business Administration Program at Oregon State University Cascades in Bend, Oregon. I'm a senior, like I said. I'm very excited to graduate. Always have been. It has been a life goal of mine. However, approaching graduation with $30,000, so $32,000, has started to worry me a little bit. Part of the reason I am this far in debt is the lack of opportunities and professional jobs east of the Cascades. I worry that I won't be able to find a job where I want to be and live, which is Bend, Oregon. I also fear that I will have to go outside of the state of Oregon to find a job to pay back my debt in a reasonable amount of time. I truly believe that $30,000 of debt will significantly delay the next major steps in my life, which is buying a house, a reliable car, and starting a family, like Tori had said, and I believe all of us feel. I also believe that education is a public good, and when a student graduates from college from Oregon University, we all win. By allowing students to increase access to education and decreasing the amount of student loan debt on their shoulders, Oregon can become a better place. As a student, voter, and political activist, I urge you to fund Oregon universities at $755 million. This money is there. We just have to prioritize it. Thank you for your time, and go Beavers.
Thank you.
Madam Co-Chair?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
Where's your home?
I live in Bend, Oregon. I came here from Idaho because I believe in Oregon education.
Okay. And, thank you.
I've been here for 5 years.
Is Oregon going to always be home?
I hope so.
Okay. We do, too.
Co-Chair Comp, Co-Chair Monroe, members of the committee, it is a pleasure being here with you today. My name is Alex McCatta, and I'm a student at Eastern Oregon University. I am a senior public administration student, first year transferring in Oregon after several years studying at community college in Los Angeles, California. I came to Oregon for the same reason that the pioneers settled here over 100 years ago. There was nothing left for me in California, and it was way too crowded. I needed to find something new. As I surveyed colleges across the country, I found that EOU was the only college with everything I wanted. It was the right degree and the right price, and thankfully I will be graduating without any student debt at all because of my family's generosity. And throughout this school year, I have seen how Eastern Oregon University caters to special demographics, low-income students and underrepresented populations. For many, college is an unachievable dream until they hear about Eastern Oregon University. Like me, people from all over the state come to EOU because it offers real opportunity for personal advancement. The secret to growing Oregon's economy is education. Just having more people here will not grow our economy. The workers of tomorrow must enter the labor force with the skills necessary to work in the careers of tomorrow. EOU provides this advantage to those least able to afford it. This dream will fade, however, if cuts to education are not restored. For me and all of the other pioneers heading toward Oregon's future, I ask that you allocate $755 million to Oregon's public universities.
Thank you. Thank you for making the drive. Okay. So we have Paul and Maude and Steve, and then on deck is Brittany Kennison, Lamar Wise, and Cassandra Huber. Did I do that right or wrong? Okay. Just a minute. So you're Paul?
Yes.
And Maude? And Steve Vincent? Sorry if I said it too fast. I won't ask your age.
That's how much they want.
Paul, if you'd start us out.
Good morning, Co-Chair Comp, Co-Chair Monroe, members of the committee. My name is Paul Kelly. I live in Portland, in fact, in the beautiful district of Representative Smith Warner. I'm also a member of Oregon State University's new Board of Trustees, and I'm here this morning to seek your support for our statewide mission, very briefly in three particulars. First is to increase the co-chair's framework budget for higher ed to the 2007 level of $755 million. So I'm reiterating what each of the last several speakers has said. I'd add, as a former member of the State Board of Higher Ed, that I'm particularly pleased that this is a unified request for funding at that level by all seven of the state public universities. Secondly, I'd ask that you fully fund the requested $16 million increase for OSU's statewide public services. Among other things, that's going to create at least 40 new full-time jobs across Oregon. It also obviously supports rural economic development and the effective use of the state's natural resources. And thirdly, I'd ask you to fully fund the governor's capital budget recommendations. All universities will share in the $72 million proposed for campus improvement and deferred maintenance. And in particular for OSU, it will fund the Forest Sciences Building and the Marine Studies Project, both of which will be supported by $55 million in matching philanthropic contributions. So I'd seek your support in those particulars, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
Co-chairs Comp and Monroe, members of the committee, my name is Maude Hines, and I am a faculty member at Portland State University, a member of our new Board of Trustees, and a native Oregonian. As you know, we are one of the most efficient universities in the nation, and we are proud of that. As I join my voice with others asking you to approve our $755 million request for the 2015-17 biennium, I'd like to share with you some of what that efficiency feels like on a daily basis. I was fully aware that landing my dream job at PSU meant working with fewer resources. I took a salary cut and an increased course load to come back to Oregon and work with our non-traditional students. But what's hard is watching the effects of declining funding on those students. In the 15 years I've been at PSU, our students' financial situation has gotten steadily worse. One of my students sat in class with such an unpleasant expression on her face that I spoke with her privately afterward. She didn't want to miss class, she said, but had a broken wrist she couldn't afford to cast. I routinely design my syllabi so that purchased books aren't required until the second week. So often am I confronted with students whose aid hasn't arrived in time to buy books before class begins. I'm a literature professor. We need those $10 books. More than a third of PSU freshmen list finances as their top concern in staying on through their sophomore year, and half of our students deal with food insecurity at some point in their careers at PSU. The week before spring break, our Board of Trustees sat through painful testimony by tearful and angry students burdened by crushing debt and deepening, depressing demonstrations of grim financial figures by administrators. Feeling forced to choose between cutting funding to essential programs and raising tuition, and ultimately choosing both, was one of the most depressing experiences of my career. Please approve the funding request and thank you for your work on behalf of Oregon students.
Thank you for your teaching.
Thank you. Co-chairs Comp and Monroe, for the record, my name is Steve Vincent. I work for Avista Utilities, and I am a member of the Southern Oregon University Board of Trustees. If you're not familiar with Avista, we're a 126-year-old utility serving electric and natural gas customers in the Pacific Northwest, and particularly in Southern Oregon and Eastern Oregon. So we cover Oregon Tech, Eastern, and Southern Oregon University. I'm here to testify in support of the co-chair's budget, but also ask for the add back up to the $755 million. Our Board of Trustees recently endorsed a 5% tuition increase because of the $750 million minimum level of funding for the next biennium. And I must say that it was a very difficult decision. I was a student at Southern Oregon University many years ago, a very struggling student that had to work full-time through my entire four-year undergrad, and that was to get me out with as minimum debt as possible. And so I would encourage you as Ways and Means Committee members to consider this add back into the budget to save the next generation of students that you see here in the room from having to struggle like I did. You know, it was a beater car, and it was, you know, a tough life for me. I didn't live at home. I had to live on my own. And, you know, fortunately, I grew up, and I, you know, am relatively successful now, and I'm back on the board. But all students struggle through the 4 years of an undergrad or longer if it has to stretch out. So I appreciate your willingness to consider the request. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we have Brittany Kennison, Lamar Wise, Cassandra Huber, and after those three, we will have Sierra Gerber, Promise Grace, and Joaquin Ramos.
Who's first?
You can flip a coin or just say, go ahead.
Good morning.
There you go.
My name is Cassie Huber. Thank you so much for making the time this morning to have everyone come and speak. I truly appreciate it. I'm currently a third-year student at Oregon State University and a member of the Oregon Student Association. I'm here today to ask you to support funding universities in the state of Oregon at $755 million. I'm an advocate for students, and I hope to best convey what I know of the greatest issue facing students today in the best possible way, which is most likely the simplest, and that's college is unaffordable. I'm also an out-of-state student from California, and I understand that the UC system is extremely expensive right now, and Oregon is headed in the same type of direction. I'm personally affected by this issue as I am an out-of-state student, and by the end of my school time with a four-year university and my hopes to attend law school, I will have accumulated over $434,000 of student debt. The tuition increases of over 15% in the past 5 years alone are reflective of the demand for students to attend a university. Shouldn't we make college more affordable of an experience for everyone? I definitely support investment of funding for universities because it will help growing populations of those universities in Oregon. It will assist our efforts in reaching new heights of education and outreach to potential students with headlining messages reading, "College is affordable now." It's disappointing that the fact that the messaging currently does not read "College is affordable," but "unaffordable," and it will decrease our education rates in the state of Oregon. The current goals for Oregon education, such as the 40-40-20 plan, cannot be accomplished should tuition rates continue to increase. In fact, with increases of tuition in the past 3 years alone, there have been enormous decreases in college enrollment rates. According to the Census Bureau, between the year of 2013 and 2014, there was a decline of enrollment rates by close to 500,000 students. College is too expensive to even consider for some people. If I asked any student today at OSU what they would like to see changed about affordability of higher education, they would say a decrease in tuition. My understanding of the 700...
Can you finish up?
Sorry. If necessary, we would love to take future actions to express how students desire and demand funding of $755 million. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Cool. Members of the committee, my name is Lamar Wise. I serve as the chief of staff to the Associated Students of the University of Oregon, as well as the university student representative on the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. I'm also an equally concerned voter. Recently, I had an interview in which they was asked, what is the biggest problem facing students today? And to me, the answer was simple, the growing cost of higher education. The truth is if tuition continues to rise, you all will be pricing out many students who need this opportunity to better their lives. We have students here that can barely afford their books for class and sometimes have to decide between their next meal and education. Personally speaking, my sophomore year in school was rough. For the better part of the year, I had to sleep on a couch to afford college. It was difficult for me to keep up with rent, and I often saw my bank account balance with less than $5 in it. This was because I was putting all my hard-earned money towards my education through buying books and paying for tuition, and even though I prioritized my education, it was hard for me to focus on my grades when I had to figure out how to pay for all my expenses just to continue living in Eugene. As decision makers on our tuition increases, I urge you to change your mindset on funding education. Student leaders from around the state have requested a 0% increase in tuition for higher education at $755 million. This is what we need to be getting our students back on track financially and to combat high tuition prices. It saddens me that we are raising tuition at the same time many workers on campuses get paid so little that they qualify for TAMF and SNAP. Meanwhile, our presidents are making off like bandits. Where's the student payout? Where is our return for our investment? Public higher education should not be a place where students begin life in debt, in servitude, nor should it be a place where we build special study halls for student athletes and ignore the student who screams rape.
And can you finish?
This is not the higher education my parents wanted for me. I cannot and won't stand by and let you all increase again. This increase occurs because we allow them to. And I know that you all may not identify with my struggle or the struggle of students today, but I know you can do something about it. As a concerned student, I'm saying please fight with me to reprioritize education in the state. And in the end, I promise it will be worth it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Co-chairs Monroe and co-chair Comp and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brittany Kennison, and I currently serve on the Oregon State Board of Higher Education, which we know will be no more after June 30th. I was appointed as a student board member while a full-time student at Oregon Tech's Wilsonville campus. I graduated last year, and I have a bachelor's in information technology, specializing as a business systems analyst. And I assure you, for those who've never heard of that, it is actually a very in-demand field within information technology. I am now employed in the Secretary of State's office, and I'm using my degree as their elections data analyst. So today I want to speak to you as both a board member, a student, now alumna, and also as a mother. As a member of the State Board of Higher Education, I've been a witness to the massive transformation in university governance and also the funding model for higher education. I did not originally vote to support the independent governing boards because I was concerned about the increased cost of unbundling services, losing those economies of scale, and I did not want students to bear the burden of those costs. And I will say that I've been able to interact with those incoming board members, and they are very committed to the success of their respective institutions. However, neither the change in governance nor the transition to outcome-based funding under the Higher Education Coordinating Commission will compensate for the lack of investment. You know, as a board member, I sat and had to listen to tuition increases, and that was very difficult. So I'm just actually going to end with a story. When I graduated, my parents came down to the campus in Klamath Falls, and they actually were able to have a very successful business without higher education. And after that weekend and with President Maples, they walked away and said, now we see the value of higher education. And that was one of the most powerful things
So anyway, I urge you to help fulfill the state's aspirational goals, because I would hate to see the things that made me successful as a student, what's making me successful now, the things that Oregon Tech offers, like the tutoring, which I probably would not have been able to pass programming without, to see those cuts would be, I think, very detrimental. So thank you for your time today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, and it's nice that you're working for the Secretary of State.
I love it.
Thank Good. You. Thank you. Next up is Sierra Gerber, Promise Grace, and Joaquin Ramos. And so all of you know we are just making it through page one of four. And so we really need to stick to the 2 minutes. And on deck is Christian Uriello and Greg Harmon and Jeff Dent. Was it what Jeff was? Dents. Please start.
Awesome. Aloha kakahiaka and good morning, co-chairs Comp and Monroe. And
is that Hawaiian?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Promise Sarai Ku'unala Maikalani Grace, and I am student body president at Southern Oregon University. I've come here with my classmates to ask for your unconditional support. When I started college in 2010, I viewed it as my only path to economic independence. I literally was unable to find a job. And I am now finishing of my fifth year of college with $30,000 in debt hanging over my head. My time at SOU has been an incredible experience where I have grown and gained an incredible amount of knowledge. Even feeling powerfully connected to the positive aspects of my campus, I find myself anxious about graduation and whether the debt I have accumulated will be worth it. As I contemplate the impending tuition increases on my campus, I wonder when we will stop presenting the new generation, like my siblings, with the choice of thousands in debt or years of personal economic stagnation and not being able to support themselves. The evidence is clear. College degrees matter, and they are a pathway to success that makes a critical difference for individuals that come from poverty and rural individuals like myself, many of the in-state students in SOU. As a state, Oregon prides itself on valuing education, but right now tuition covers 70% or more of the costs at public universities. The national average is closer to 32%. Missouri, Mississippi, and Arkansas all take on a greater share of the cost than we do. Make the action match the rhetoric. The best way to educate and retain next few generations and ensure the economic success is to stop the downpour of debt and restore our cuts. Put our university budget at $755 million and show students and Oregonians across the state that our educational goals are more than empty promises.
And I need to ask you to finish.
Yes, ma'am. Prove that we value higher education enough to take action. Mahalo nui loa, and thank you very much for allowing me to speak to you today.
Thank you.
Co-chairs Comp and Monroe and members of the committee. Good morning. My name is Sierra Gerber, and I'm a full-time student at Portland State University, a part-time worker, and a knowledge enthusiast. I'm here to express why public higher education needs more funding. When it comes to school, I'm the average college student. I have average grades. I participate in as many things that time permits. I'm nothing out of the ordinary. The last 5 years of my life have consisted of attending high school, 3 part-time jobs, 2 full-time jobs, 180 hours of community service, and 950 hours of extracurricular activities, including basketball, things that, you know, I enjoy. I could point out thousands of students like me, hardworking, dedicated people trying to better themselves in their communities. Some have better financial situations than others. I have come from rural communities, lived in them all my life, and, you know, have seen the trials and tribulations of many people. However, there's a significantly greater amount of students with circumstances much worse than mine. It is sad that money is one of the biggest roadblocks students face. I see this to highlight the dire situation in which my generation finds itself. I'm one of the lucky aspiring knowledge seekers today, and many others fall through the cracks before they even have really started their lives. I believe in working for my goals, and I've thus made a proactive dent in my life, but a lot cannot do that. Ideally, I would continue to pursue my degree and eventually make a difference and somehow positively impact society, but from where I'm sitting, things look very bleak, to be quite honest. I was never told growing up that I would be starting my adult life in the negative, with about $36,000 in student debt once I graduate with a bachelor's degree. I will have a particularly daunting amount of debt, starting my life off with owing something to the market other than my skills and abilities. Not only that, last year, my mother got a new job, and even though she makes more money now than she did before, the only way she can actually contribute to my education is by co-signing loans. I'm not a quitter, however. Considering the outlook of things on a systematic scale, and considering that many people are in worse situations than myself, it's no wonder why completely competent people are not able to attain higher degrees or even attempt pursuing one.
And please finish.
It is a very unsound model for society, and is quite disheartening as a citizen and a student to face such stress-ridden and unfulfilling future. Please fund our public universities at a minimum of $755 million.
Thank you.
Good morning, Co-Chair Monroe and Co-Chair Comp and members of the committee. My name is Joaquin Ramos. I am a sophomore at the University of Oregon. I am studying Ethnic Studies and French. I'm a double major. But what I like to talk about is like leading up to the university. I come from a very low-income household. My dad was unemployed when the recession hit. My mom is on disability. She still continues to work. And I come from a really difficult background. I didn't know English in elementary school, and for 3 years of my life, I was homeless with my parents. We were living in a car. I have overcome all of that to get to the university, and I never thought that it would be a possibility to get into any sort of college. Looking at tuition prices 4 years ago, when people started to tell me that college was even a possibility, which was in high school, that's when I realized that it wasn't a possibility for me. Luckily, I got a scholarship to the University of Oregon, and I will very fortunately leave with an undergrad degree with $0 in debt. However, I see people like myself that don't have a place to live, that have to choose between eating and getting books, that have to clothe themselves in other ways, they have to go to food pantries. And I think it's ridiculous that we keep raising and raising tuition. And if you keep continuing to raise tuition, you are silencing voices of people from marginalized communities. You are cutting out queer students. You're cutting out people of color. You're cutting out low-income students that have value in our society and are told consistently that they're not valuable, like I was told for most of my life. I just think that this is such an important decision, and we really have to invest into our higher education and give people voices that usually don't.
Thank you, Joaquin. Okay, Christian and Mr. Harmon and Jeff Dance. And on deck, we made it through page one. Jeff. Now we have Mike Bailey and Ken Nguyen and Gage Cameron. Campbell, I don't know. Your pen ran out of ink. You're a U of O student. So, gentlemen, now, I know you know what 2 minutes are. Okay, stick to it.
Co-Chair Comp, Co-Chair Monroe, members of the subcommittee, for the record, my name is Jeff Dense, president of the Interinstitutional Faculty Senate. We represent the faculty at Oregon's public universities. Today, I'd like to highlight three substantive concerns the subcommittee should consider as you contemplate investment in higher education, textbook affordability, interinstitutional collaboration, and academic quality. Along with rising tuition costs, textbook affordability has been highlighted as one of the primary impediments to student access, affordability, and ultimately success. No student should have to make a choice between buying a textbook and eating. IFS's hopeful funding to incentivize textbook affordability will be forthcoming. Textbook affordability is one of the primary impediments to attainment of the state's 40-40-20 goals, and your thoughtful consideration of how to address this vexing problem is much appreciated by students and faculty. IFS believes collaboration is the key to the future success of higher education in Oregon. The higher education budgetary landscape in Oregon is undergoing an unprecedented seismic shift. IFS keenly understands the future of Oregon is directly linked to providing our students with the knowledge and skills necessary to compete in an increasingly competitive global marketplace. IFS believes collaboration between Oregon public universities, along with our community college partners, irrespective of any budgetary allocation, is the key to not only the future of higher education, but the future of our great state. IFS highlighting of the issue of academic quality has led to robust conversations with stakeholders on the centrality of this essential concept to the future of higher education in Oregon. Academic quality is one of the primary measures of institutional effectiveness. IFS is fully committed in perpetuity to ensuring academic quality for all future students at Oregon's public universities. However, without a sufficient public investment, academic quality may be imperiled. In conclusion, IFS is committed to applying our collective expertise to ensuring the quality of higher education in Oregon and protecting our most valuable resource, our students. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're missing Christian Uriello.
Is it Christian Mello?
Yeah, Mello? Could be. Come on down.
I have to ask.
Well, I appreciate you asking. Mr. Harmon.
Chairs Comp and Monroe and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Greg Heyman. I am the president of Lynn Benton Community College. I'm also on the Oregon Quality Education Commission. Thanks for the time to be able to speak with you. It's time for us to restore the cuts to our colleges that hamstring potential students and undermine the state's economic competitiveness. Like never before, Oregon's public universities and community colleges are aligned to advocate the imperative of improved funding for higher education. Restoring funding after a decade of disinvestment is the right thing to do for our students, and ultimately, it is the right thing to do for Oregon's future. No matter where students attend classes and job training programs, Oregon will benefit if we invest in our colleges and universities. They will benefit if they have the educational capacity to teach them well, if they can offer counseling and student services that help them to remain in school, and if they help them to advance towards a career while accruing as little debt as possible. Community colleges and universities are partners when it comes to educating the workforce of our future. In many ways, we even share the same students. In fact, because we share so many students, there are effectively no degrees of separation when it comes to our continuum of Oregon higher education. Today, more than half of the community college students of Oregon are working toward a university-level degree. At the same time, a new student mobility study showed that 55% of all bachelor degree recipients in Oregon have completed some of their community college, some of their coursework in a community college. I know this to be true because at Lynn Benton, over 2,000 of our students are also Oregon State University students. And so it is vital for all of Oregon, that Oregon's public universities be made fiscally healthy, that they provide much more than a public service, that they are an investment in the future of our state. Please join all of Oregon's 17 community colleges to support the budget appropriation of $755 million that is sought for Oregon's universities for this coming biennium. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Christian.
Co-chairs Comp and Monroe, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Christian Mello, and I'm dual enrolled at Lane Community College in Eugene and Oregon State University, as well as a member of the Oregon Student Association. I'm here in support of increased support for public universities. I'm a first-generation college student, so I didn't have the opportunity or support of my family in university education, and relying on credit, which is really what loans are, is utterly terrifying for me to think about. When I entered college in fall 2008, I decided to go with LCC, which is my local community college, both due to financial ability and because I needed my GED, didn't graduate high school. And after some off years, I'll be transferring in a few months to an associate's degree. Pretty proud of that. It was far from easy for me to get through community college, and which was even an affordable option, and it proved to be a little unaffordable on its own. It was in fall 2014 that I was able to start to get financial aid again, and that was only because I made the smart move of dual enrolling, which raised my credit limit to bachelor's degree level. However, it didn't come without its problems. You see, I've been taking online courses from OSU for the past year, and I've now gotten a taste of just how high a college education can cost. While LCC may be one of the more expensive community colleges at $98 a credit, the credit tuition of Oregon State University courses has utterly dwarfed my community college. For one course at OSU's eCampus this term, just three credit course excluding fees, I'm paying $915. My credit tuition for LCC this term is $882. That's for three courses and nine credits. I'm pretty excited about transferring to OSU in the fall, and I'm going to be experiencing a higher level of education in computer science, but I need to ask you today to reinvest in higher education, because we students aren't going to be able to do this all by ourselves. Even people like me who went to the community college route for the first 2 years are going to be struggling to catch up to the nonsensical tuition of public universities. My Pell Grants are only going up $45 in the next year, and my tuition is not going to be matching that too easily.
Wrap it up.
I'm asking you to fund universities at $755 million so my fellow students can be assets to this great state, and I just hope I get there too. Thank you for your time.
You will. Thank you. Okay, so now we have Mike Bailey, Han Nguyen, and Gage Cameron or Campbell. Gage? Oh, yeah, it could be.
Who is it? Is it Gage or Gage?
Gage.
Okay.
Sorry. And then on deck we have Austin Himmer, David Reeves, and Joe Landau. Okay. Thank you. As long as you know who I'm trying to say. And yes, go ahead and please start.
Okay. Co-chairs Comp and Monroe and committee members, thank you very much for letting us speak this morning. My name is Mike Bailey. I'm a professor in computer science at Oregon State University, and I'm currently president of the OSU Faculty Senate. I have a lot of experience with all aspects of education. In my position, in my lucky position, I get to be a part of a very exciting process. Professors these days get to work with pre-college students, college students, other faculty, and companies. It's not separate pieces, and I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking of it as separate pieces. It's really part of an overall ecosystem, and I think of it as a potential fulfilling ecosystem. It's been said that in a child's future these days, there's a competition between technology and education. Technology tends to depress wages for those at the bottom of the economic scale. What helps that is education. Education moves people up the economic scale away from that wage depression end. Oregon companies such as Intel, Garmin, NVIDIA, and countless startups are looking to Oregon universities to supply their human capital. I work with recruiters from all of those companies. They tell me that they have a hard time recruiting from outside the state. People either want to stay in their own states or they're afraid of Oregon weather. Okay, but our students have come to deal with the weather already. Those companies hire a lot of students from our universities. Without the university support, they won't be able to supply the capital for the companies. As faculty, we know we can educate better. We can educate students to be better employees. We can educate more Oregonians. But we need your support. We have educational improvements we'd like to make. We'd like to do more in our classrooms. But we can't do that without you. So in Oregon's future, we're in a competition, both with other states and with economic forces. We ask you for your help in winning that race.
Is that it?
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, and the members of the committee. My name is Gage Cambon. I'm a graduate of Grant High School in Portland, Oregon. Go Generals. And currently I'm a junior at the University of Oregon. Go Ducks. I'm a business administration major with a concentration in marketing. I'm a recipient of the Pathway Oregon Award, which is an award given to Oregonians to make college a reality for students like myself. I'm a first-generation college student coming from a low-income background. My estimated family contribution for 4 years of college has been zero, so I've had no financial support from any family members. As a result, I've had to support myself throughout college while trying to exceed academic expectations. Even with the Pathway Oregon Award, I'll have accumulated about $30,000 in debt by the time I graduate. Beyond financial support, Pathway has been there for me for academic advising and as a friend. They've helped me with my four-year grad plan. They've put me in the right direction, and they've helped me find a major that I'm passionate about. Pathway has become my family. They're the reason why I'm at where I am today. Pathway invested in my potential as a student when no one else did, and I'm asking the state legislator to invest the $755 million in Oregon public universities so more students like myself can succeed. Looking ahead, I have an internship with Fred Meyer this summer that will hopefully turn into a full-time position after graduation. So thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for your courage of kind of walking the path alone. It's hard.
Hi, Co-Chair Com, Co-Chair Monroe, and everyone. My name is Han, and I'm currently attending Western Oregon University and majoring in biology. My career goal is to become a dentist, and my family moved to America about 5 years ago because my parents think that I will have a better education here. They moved and they left my relative behind, the jobs and everything, just to come to a new country without speaking any English. I witnessed my dad got rejected for a different job because he doesn't speak any English, and he came from a different background. My mother had to walk an hour to work because she doesn't know how to drive and didn't own a car. With the effort they made in a new country, I value everything I receive, and knowing that getting the education and the career is the only way to repay them. I didn't know I would make it this far because even then I don't speak any English. So by the time that I graduate, my debt would be approximately $25,000 because I made it in my own. My parents cannot afford for me to go to school. And I plan on attending dental school after graduation, so the number would be add up even more, approximately to be around $400,000. So I ask you please approve the funding so that I will be able to continue my education path. And thank you for all the support I get from you guys.
Thank you. What's your home country?
I'm from Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoy America and stay here and work with us.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, we have Austin Wimmer and David Rivas and Joe, that I can't say very well.
Madam Chair, could we have the three Oregon AFT representatives together, David Reeves, Mark Perlman, Joe Lowndes, either this panel or the following one?
If my good friend here can figure out the... Yeah. Bring them all up, Mark and Joe and David. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Then have the other testifier come in a following panel. Okay. That's the three from AFT Oregon, us three.
Whatever Mr. Siebert tells me. And gentlemen, please proceed.
Okay, I'll start off. Good morning. Thank you, co-chairs Comp and Monroe and subcommittee members. My name is Joe Lowndes. I'm an associate professor of political science at the University of Oregon, where I've taught for the last 12 years. Okay. I'm also the chair of the Committee on State Issues in Higher Education for United Academics, which is the faculty union at the University of Oregon, and I'm a vice president for AFT Oregon. The long-term decline in public higher education in Oregon has taken an enormous toll on our universities, which has in turn taken an enormous toll on both our economy and our democracy. Year after year of leaner budgets have done a number of things. It has held college degrees out of the reach of a great many Oregonians who could have thrived with this education. For students who do manage to come, they and often their parents take on mountains of debt they're saddled with for many years. My students are often struggling with multiple jobs and often living in grinding poverty. Universities are unable to attract and retain good faculty because the pay is less than comparator institutions, which makes it hard to bring them and keep them. And this means a decline in the quality of research and teaching. Schools are forced to cut permanent faculty lines, depending instead on an ever-growing number of adjuncts who are underpaid. And while their work is heroic, they teach over 60% of courses at the University of Oregon. They have little time for students outside the classroom. I could continue here at great length, which professors love to do, but I won't. I just want to say that in a broad picture, after World War II, the United States built a prosperous, stable middle class and became the world's wealthiest nation through the great expansion of and investment in its public universities. This fact has been taken for granted for too long, and the neglect has begun to erode our once proud university system. Oregon needs much greater investment in its universities. These institutions produce the graduates who can build our economy, who can solve the increasingly complex scientific, environmental, social, and cultural challenges we face, and who become a knowledgeable democratic citizenry. So it's time to strongly reinvest in public higher education, and $755 million would be a good start.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Mark Perlman. I'm a philosophy professor at Western Oregon University, and I'm also the president of the faculty union at Western. And I'm also speaking in favor of the funding for higher education. And Western, in particular, has a strong program in attracting low-income students, minority students, and students who are the first generation of their family to go to college. And Western is unique in Oregon's universities. We have the tuition promise where they can come and attend for 4 years for a flat rate tuition. And it was a very popular program, but in the last few years it came very close to having to be given up, just because a 4-year promise depends on stable funding from the state, and we haven't had stable funding from the state, but we kept it. And we're happy to be keeping it, but it also distorts our budget because the next cohort that starts the next 4 years has to jump sort of uncharacteristically large amount. The other problem we have is attracting faculty because of the low salaries, and we also have trouble retaining the faculty because, you know, we've been hearing about students with student debt. Our faculty who went to get their PhDs and sometimes spent 10 years going to their terminal degrees, they come to their jobs with student debt, and some of them spend 10 or 15 or 20 years in their professor jobs still paying their student debt. And you can be a professor and still not be able to afford a house because of low salary and student debt. And so I encourage you to raise the level of funding for higher education. We know that this kind of investment pays off for the state in the long run, but we have to get through the short-term hurdles to get to the long-term payoff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairs Comp, Monroe, members of the committee. I'm David Reeves. I'm president of American Federation of Teachers Oregon. We represent over 14,000 members in the state, including many in the university system. I'm here to speak in favor of increased investment in universities. As you know, the state has just recently approved, just last week, a new funding model for universities, outcomes-based funding. It puts a real emphasis on completions and graduations. I'll speak frankly, there's been a lot of concern among faculty with this model, particularly with the current budget level, that it's not going to lead so much to the increases we need as more just maybe moving numbers around, to be frank. But I think with an increase, and we've seen this in other states, just changing the funding model alone does not move the lever on completions. It's the investment. Funding model helps offer guidance and direction and priorities, but it's really the investment that moves the lever if we want to increase completions, particularly with the students we're going to have to be reaching out to that aren't necessarily the ones that are likely to succeed with the current support system. Increased funding will, you know, help hire more full-time faculty who can be there with their students, more counselors, support more innovative programs, things like TRIO, Aspire, other programs, affordable tuition. You've heard the tuition promise. Many of the other universities have similar programs. And really offer
that money can really go to offer the support and guidance for minority, for rural, for first-generation, underrepresented students, the ones we really need to increase completions with. So I'm hoping this new focus on completion helps, and I'm confident we can really make it work with an increased investment. As you heard Representative Buckley said, more graduates will really fuel the economy in this state. Thank you very much.
And I don't think I shared our next team, and that's Austin Hinman, Grant Schroeder, and Karen Sullivan Vance. And then after that, we will have Becky Sanchez, Taylor Sorman, and Alyssa Houston. And please, yes, begin.
Good morning, Co-Chair Comp, Co-Chair Monroe, and members of the committee. Thank you. My name is Austin Hinman. I am a sophomore-level student at Oregon Tech Wilsonville in optical and electrical engineering. I am a non-standard student. I'm 35 years old. This is actually my third career. I've had kind of a extended route to get to this point. I've benefited from the community colleges leading up to this point at Oregon Tech. One of the interesting things that I've experienced since being at Oregon Tech is the sense of ownership that I've had at this university. And it has led me to actually seek employment with the university. I'm now a student ambassador, and I oversee two of their labs. So I interact a lot with prospective students and incoming students. And I see the crushing worry of these new students that are coming in about the debt that they may incur to get this degree to seek their futures. And also, over the last 15 years, I've seen the de-investment in higher education, where there's still the technology demand. This is still the Silicon Forest. We still have a wonderful potential in this state to drive industry. And I ask you and implore you to please expand the funding, expand higher education, and really give us the support we need to get these students and students like myself the education we need without crippling us as we go into the workforce.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Grant Schoonover. I'm the director of the Pathway Oregon program at the University of Oregon. Pathway Oregon increases access to higher education for lower-income Oregonians by covering their cost of their tuition fees for 4 years through a combination of institutional, state, and federal financial aid. In addition, and most importantly, to this much-needed financial assistance, the program provides targeted academic support and advising to reduce the time it takes students to earn a bachelor's degree, which also reduces their reliance on student loans. Since its inception, Pathway Oregon has increased the four-year graduation rates for low-income Oregonians at the UO by 46% and the six-year graduation rates by 21%. Let me repeat that. Since its inception, Pathway Oregon has increased the four-year graduation rates for low-income Oregonians at the UO by 46% and six-year graduation rates by 21%. I'm here to ask you to fund Oregon's public universities at $755 million because it will allow campuses across the system to fund programs like Pathway Oregon. Indeed, Pathway Oregon is one of the programs the University of Oregon plans to use this increased state investment to support. This investment will make a difference because Pathway Oregon makes a difference. You've heard that already from Gage Cambone, a student in our program. You'll also hear from Alyssa Houston, who's in our program. This investment, as I said, will make a difference because Pathway makes a difference. And I know this because I see the difference it makes every day. It puts a dream within reach. I just got a call from a student this past week who received their financial aid award letter and their acceptance to the U of O, just called to say thank you because she could now go to college. So as you make a decision about this investment, I just ask that you will make this investment in our future for Oregonians, particularly low-income Oregonians and students from underrepresented backgrounds. We have programs in place that can increase their completion, and when we invest in student success, they quite often surprise us because we never saw them in the first place. So let's see these students and give them the chance that they need.
Thank you.
Co-Chairs Monroe and Comp, members of the subcommittee. For the record, my name is Karen Sullivan Vance, and I'm the director of the Academic Advising and Learning Center at Western Oregon University. Academic advising provides support to students by helping them identify their career and life goals in relation to their educational plan. We know that academic advising and early intervention for students at academic risk works, and it is why I urge your thoughtful consideration of the budget request of Oregon's public universities. Despite years of disinvestment and increasing tuition, there is some hope this session that public universities will be funded at a level that might make some investment and successful strategies possible. At Western Oregon University, we have worked diligently across campus to support a diverse student body. Each year, the Academic Advising and Learning Center averages between 16,000 and 17,000 advising contacts, which include one-on-one advising appointments, workshops, phone calls, and emails. In addition, the office runs a tutoring center and teaches several classes each term. In 2012, the Academic Advising and Learning Center developed the Wolf Connection System, WCS, an online early alert referral system for faculty and staff, with the goal of conducting proactive advising with students, intervening before they actually fail. We provide immediate support to students the minute they are struggling and become at risk. These interventions, along with educational workshop interventions around academic mourning and probation, have had a significantly positive impact on our students. In short, after the Wolf Connection system was implemented, academic probations dropped by 29% and suspensions dropped by 32%. We know that proactive advising works to help students identify issues, provide support and referrals, and help students get back on track. While I recognize that there are many demands on limited funds, I know that students are negatively impacted when we cannot provide timely services to them. As institutional agents, academic advisors work on the front lines every day to support our students. We ask that you please approve the funding requests and support public universities. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you. Before you leave, I was wondering, Representative Barbara Smith-Warner, you had a question?
Yes, thank you for the gentleman from Pathways. Can you give us the number that 46% and 21% increase is based on?
Yeah, so the pre-Pathway Oregon four-year graduation rate is roughly 30%, and it increased a four-year graduation rate to 47%. Six-year graduation rate in 2007 was a little over 50%, and it's increased the six-year graduation rate for that population to about 65% off the top of my head.
Thank you.
Get that information to the committee?
Of course, I'd be happy to.
Thank you. And Julie, if he contacts you, you can give him the how to contact us.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have Becky Sanchez, Taylor Sarman, and Alyssa Houston. And on deck, we have Michael Wellborn, Alex McHadid, and Gabe Gardner. And folks, we are just finishing page 2 of 4. Actually, page 4 wasn't. Too long, is it? Oh, yeah, it was too. Okay. Please start.
Co-chairs, and members of the committee. My name is Becky Sanchez, and I'm the Director of Academic Advising in the Business School at Portland State University. I'm a native Oregonian and an alum of PSU. As the most diverse and one of the largest institutions in the state, PSU is proud to be able to impact 40-40-20 in a significant way. To do that, though, we need funding. Advisors hear students' hopes, dreams, and fears. We see the whole picture and we guide students to graduation. Research done by Tinto, Smith, Allen, and the Educational Advisory Board continuously point to the impact of advising on retention and graduation rates. We have high caseloads right now at Portland State. In my department alone, we have about a 720-to-1 ratio for students to advisors. Students have 3 to 4 week wait times to see an advisor during registration periods, which in my book is unacceptable and unsustainable. I consistently hear from students, your advisors are great, hire more. Iman, a first-generation student that I've worked with through the years, he began as a freshman, and I saw him every term because he made the effort and took the initiative to schedule that appointment with me. I was able to learn about Iman's hopes and dreams, also about his family and the goals that they had for him, and his experiences at Portland State as a diverse student and a first-generation student. As caseloads became more and more difficult to manage and enrollment grew significantly, it became hard for him to get in to make an appointment. He had to plan weeks and weeks in advance to see me. He did, though, and I loved it. I loved every minute of seeing him. In one of our last meetings, he said that he hoped by the time his little sister arrived at PSU that the funding had arrived before her. Please approve the funding request. Go Vikes.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, and the members of the committee. For the record, my name is Alyssa Houston, and I am a graduate of Milwaukee High School. Also, currently, I am a senior at the University of Oregon, and I am also a participant of the Pathway Oregon program, which helps Pell-eligible Oregonians succeed with college funding. My senior year of high school, both my parents have, you know, worked hard their entire lives, but unfortunately, because of the recession, both of them were unemployed my senior year. So it didn't matter how hard I had worked through high school, I was no longer going to be able to afford college. I was accepted into the University of Oregon, and just when I thought that I was going to have to deny my acceptance, I had gotten my financial award from the Pathway Oregon. And we did, after doing the math and the numbers with my parents, it became apparent that I was going to be able to attend college. With the Pathway Oregon program, not only did they help financially, but their advisement staff was very helpful with me and helping me succeed to graduate. So currently, I will be graduating in fall, and I will be the first in my family to do so. So I am asking the legislature to invest $755 million in Oregon's public universities to allow more Oregonians to have this opportunity that I did.
Thank you. And committee, since we have 30 seconds left, can we give her a little bit of applause for graduating this fall?
Thank you.
And she's from Milwaukee.
Oh, and she's from Milwaukee. Okay.
Co-Chair Comp, Co-Chair Monroe, and members of the committee, for the record, my name's Taylor Sarman. I'm a native northeastern Oregonian and currently reside in Corvallis, where I attend Oregon State University as a junior in political science and also have the privilege to serve the students there as student body president. And when I was elected student body president at Oregon State University, I committed to making sure that the voices of my peers were heard here in Oregon State Capitol. And today I'm reminded of that commitment and the conversations that I've had with many of my peers at OSU. And the message that they've told me to send here is clear. The state of Oregon must restore higher education funding or can risk continuing to place the burden on the backs of students. Students need at least the $755 million being requested. While the co-chair's budget is a step in the right direction, students need the state of Oregon to get closer to the funding levels that the legislature approved in 2007. The closer the state moves to these funding levels, the more students will be able to graduate on time, with less debt, and contribute to the economic success of this state. And that's why 755 is a vital number. An additional $85 million in funding will be critical in allowing OSU to focus on resources supporting students to degree completion. As a first-generation student from rural northeastern Oregon, I know firsthand how difficult it can be to navigate and understand the financial aid and admissions process. $755 million will provide assistance that is necessary for my peers at the highest risk and in the most need. In addition to crucial increases in financial aid, the additional $85 million will allow continuation and restoration of several programs that will aid in the success of many of my peers at OSU. I had the privilege to participate in one of those programs in my first year at Oregon State, called September Scholars, a three-week bridge program that helps high school students transition into higher education. Without an additional $85 million, continuations of that program and programs like that will not exist, and students won't be able to have the future success that I've been able to enjoy at OSU. To close, and to be short, I urge this committee to move forward an additional $85 million to invest a total of $755 million in higher education. Students are counting on you for your vote.
Thank you. I appreciate your time and energy and your dedication.
Thank you. Senator Roblin has a question.
Just a statement.
Yes,
Senator. I just want to say we're probably looking at a future legislator. our student body president already said, you know, we've got Boquist, Clem, Gomberg.
I'm coming.
Sorry. Okay, Matthew Wellborn, Alex McCadden, and Gabe Gardner, and people in attendance, and students, faculty, presidents. This will be our last panel. We literally have almost two more pages of people signed up. We did get to everybody that traveled more than 100 miles today. And I know Senator Monroe has a comment, but we're probably thinking the same thing, so go for it.
Well, Madam Co-Chair, there's a lot of people here that didn't get a chance to testify, and I'm going to ask our leadership whether or not we can possibly schedule another day for additional public testimony. It would probably be sometime next week. I'll see if that's possible.
So thank you. And so I'm still missing, we've got Matthew, Alex, and Gabe.
Alex already spoke earlier.
Okay. So we can have Melissa Ratherson. Come on down. We've got 6 minutes, which is just exactly right.
2 times 3.
Yep. Please go ahead and start while Melissa comes down.
Okay. My story isn't that different from a lot of the others here. I was a high school dropout until fairly recently. I decided to go to school. I didn't think of...
What's your name?
Oh, sorry. I'm Matthew Wellborn. I go to Eastern Oregon University. Sorry, this is a little... I'm new to the college life. This is actually only my third week at school. Like I said, I dropped out. I was working dead-end jobs. It wasn't going well for me, and I decided to do something more. I looked at community colleges, but realized that thanks to Eastern Oregon University, that 4-year college experience was attainable for me. If these numbers don't start meeting up and the tuition costs come down, that won't necessarily be the case for other students like myself. They'll be kept out of that traditional 4-year experience, which is kind of really important to shaping a lot of what you are as a worker. It gives you a good work ethic. It helps you build lasting relationships, things like that. And I think it's a very important experience to give to as many people as possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, thank you so much for your time. My name is Melissa Rathasing. I am the student body president at Lane Community College, as well as a part of the board of directors with the Oregon Student Association. But alas, with all of the titles aside, I am nonetheless a student and a transfer student to the University of Oregon to major in psychology. Because the cost to go to university is 3 times more than it costs to go to community college, I couldn't afford to go to a 4-year institution. In fact, that didn't stop me from my dream of wanting to do something meaningful with my life. And I wanted to make an impact and give back to my community, and I was planning on enlisting to the military my senior year in high school. But not only my mother was concerned with my life, but she was also concerned that the likelihood of me continuing on to higher education was very slim, and she now pays for my education out of pocket. But the road to get here was not easy. I was raised by a single mother. I've been to 39 states, 33 schools, 5 countries, and I speak 4 languages. And despite those hardships, she still found a way to put food on the table. But an education's not like that. I can't rely and hope that and believe that with good work ethics and with a full-time job, with a little bit of support, that I could actually afford it. And my mother has contemplated suicide because she truly feels that the sacrifice of one person will help the next generation become scholars. Scholars like myself and scholars like the future scholars like her 5 grandchildren. I want to better my life and pull my family out of this cycle and help give back to my community. But how can I? How can I feel like I have to justify my existence as to why this matters to not only just me, but to thousands of other students who have their own narratives to share. And I can't speak for their personal experiences. However, in my mind, no matter how much money I pay back, no matter how hard I try, and no matter how hard I work, it will never erase the guilt of knowing what my mother has contemplated to do for my education. And I urge this committee to please fund universities at $755 million.
because I can't afford my education, and I can't afford to lose my mother because she's all I have left.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, hard act to follow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, hi, co-chairs Monroe and Comp and members of the committee. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak, first of all. My name is Gabe Gardner, and I go to the University of Oregon as a sophomore right now. I'm also a first-generation college student, as well as from a low-income background. So my five siblings and I were both raised by my single mom as well, and we were taught by her that education is number one priority and that college is the ladder to success. But myself and students like me are starting to learn that that ladder is getting further and further out of reach. And so I'm here to ask you all to help bring down that ladder. Since my family cannot support me financially out of pocket, I rely on school-based aid, the Pathway Grant actually, as well as state and federal funding to attend the university. And I'm not asking you all to just focus on financial aid supplements because the tuition freeze is also necessary. My financial aid won't last as long as I need it because I probably won't finish in 4 years. And 4-year completion should be the number one goal, but because of a lot of things that have happened in college, especially the major chains that I've decided, I probably won't finish in that 4-year period. I already have $20,000 of debt as a sophomore, and each additional year is around $8,000 to $10,000 in additional loans. I also have 5 younger siblings, and since I'm the oldest of those, I have set the precedence for college education. And I remember taking them to the University of Oregon campus, in which, I mean, all of them are like about 11 younger. So they're just screaming, and they're like, whoa, there's a duck on campus. That's so cool. Oh, green and yellow. Ah. And they really, really were excited. And obviously, at first, I was really excited for them. But the second thought was worry. And worry that due to these tuition increases that they won't have the same access and opportunity that I do. Because as we increase tuition, we are also pricing out students like them, future students who might be able to get a job as a dentist, as a doctor, as a lawyer. They have a lot of passion, and I'm fighting for them as well. And over this last year, I helped register 55,311 students to register to vote in the state of Oregon. And their stories aren't unique. They're very similar to a lot of other college students who are going through these struggles as well. And we need you all to fight for them. We need you all to be our champions, because if you think that list of 4 is long, imagine 55,311 students that we've just talked to that feel the same and can't afford these tuition increases. So I implore you all to fund universities at $755 million and advocate for a tuition freeze. Thank you so much.
Yes. And in just a minute, Mr. Co-Chair. Melissa, how many countries have you been in?
5.
And what were the countries?
Thailand, Laos, Japan, Taiwan, and Canada.
And your mother, what kind of jobs has she had?
She's very good at being a chef.
A chef?
Yeah. She's really good at it, and so she grand opens many restaurants across the country.
Well, you're very fortunate, and yes, I wish we had the solutions for all of you. Co-Chair Monroe.
Yeah, I thought maybe it'd be good for me to say a few things about the process. I've been an educator for 50 years. I would love to give you the 755. I hope we get to that point. But we're about the third tier in the decision-making process. Above us are the two big co-chairs, Senator Devlin and Representative Buckley. Representative Buckley spoke at the beginning of this. And then above them are the presiding officers, Senate President Courtney and Speaker Kotek. They work on these budgets all along and decide how much total money there is and how much of that total amount can be spent on education. And then we have to carve down and see, well, of the education dollars, how many are going to be spent on K-12? And that decision was made about a week ago, and a lot of people were unhappy about it, that it wasn't higher. And then the next decision we'll be making is on community colleges and universities. And those numbers have been recommended, but we're going to be pushing to get them higher. and trying to influence those that are above us that, hey, that's just not enough. We need to find more dollars. And then, of course, we're going to be trying to fund early childhood as well. And the early childhood programs are absolutely critical. Head Start, pre-Head Start, those programs are critical. If we're going to raise a generation of young people that are ready for school at age 5, that are reading at grade level by the 3rd grade, and that are successful in life, so we don't have to build more prisons. I'd rather build more schools than prisons. And so hopefully we'll be trying to balance all of those needs. There's not enough money. They didn't give us a printing press when they gave us this job. And probably there aren't the votes to raise taxes. I would vote to raise taxes for education, but not every member of the legislature is willing to do that. And then there's the issue of the kicker. And I have a bill in that would ask the voters whether or not that kicker money could be used for education instead of sent back in small checks. Those are all decisions that we will be made. But unless we create more money, we're going to be limited. And higher ed isn't going to get as much as it should. Community colleges aren't going to get as much as they should. K-12 isn't going to get as much as they should. And the early childhood programs will have to be cut back. It's a very difficult job. This panel is made up of people that are passionate about education. We will do the best we can to influence other members of the legislature, all 90 of us, to do the best we can in terms of this funding. I abhor the fact that you're having to accumulate $30,000 or $40,000 in student debt just to get an education. I applaud the fact that you're getting your education anyway and taking on that burden of that added debt. I know that's hard, and I know it'll be difficult, and I know students that take 10, 15, 20 years to pay it off. Anyway, keep at it. You know, this panel is made up of people that really care about what you're doing, and we will do the best job we can. But we haven't been able to create additional money because they didn't give us a printing press. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, for letting me say that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. When you got started on the kicker, I thought, okay, now we're getting a little deep into detail that, yeah, you might not want to know all those pieces, but Senator Monroe and I have been working together for a number of years now on this committee, and our commitment is strong. Representative Huffman's been here with us. Senator Roblin, this man down here on the end is an absolute all-star. Almost every young person I run into has been one of his students. And he has more stories than most of us put together. Yes, we do hear you. We are outraged at the cost that you're at the cost of your everyday living and what you're having to do in order to get your education. I know what it's like to not have the textbooks you need. That's something that I dealt with as a student at an older age. I am old. And you're at a real handicap when you can't have your textbooks that you need. It just cuts you off at the knees. And so we know that, we understand that, and we wish we could do more, and we will do our best. And with that committee, we will be back in our regular room tomorrow. Update, Mr. Siebert, what are we working on?
Madam Chair, I believe tomorrow is OHSU.
OHSU, that's the Oregon Health Sciences Institute, where it costs you 70, what, 200, how many, 100,000 to become a dentist? Somebody said today. Whew. Anyway, so I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5024. We're adjourned. Thank all of you.